Today is August 24th, 1994, and I'm here in the Ellis Island Oral History Studio with Dr. Lewis Parrish, who worked here for the United States Public Health Service from June 1950 into 1951. And I just want to start out, this is Janet Levine for the National Park Service. I want to start out by saying I'm very happy to see you here.
Well, I can't tell you how flattered I am to think I'm part of history.
Well, you are. You are now. And I want to say we'll start out, whatever you remember, of course, is most welcome. And I'll start out by asking some questions, and whatever's relevant within that, you can mention. And, of course, any anecdotes are always most welcome. Why don't you start by saying your birth date and where you were born?
Okay, I was born in Louisiana, North Louisiana, in April 1927. I came to New York in June, as you said, as an intern after graduating from medical school, and was stationed at the Public Health Hospital on Staten Island. They were responsible for about once a month or once every 3 weeks sending a doctor over here to consult with the detainees, the few retaining detainees. And when I say few, I mean few. I mean, I can't remember more than about 12 or 13 being here. And the Coast Guard would take us from the dock down at where the Staten Island Ferry was, bring us over here. And they had a dispensary, and anybody who had any medical complaint was free to come in and talk with the doctor.
Now was the Coast Guard was stationed here at that time?
No. I don't know who was running the place at that time. But the Public Health Service was responsible for the health and care of the people who were still here. I mean, some of them were going through litigation. I remember two that were here because they had tuberculosis. And in those days in 1950, we didn't have a treatment for tuberculosis. And one thing I never figured out is what they were staying here for. I guess it was litigation, family pressure or something. I remember when I would return in the mornings to go back to the hospital, you would see one or two men who were lawyers or something coming over here to discuss the cases with their clients. But I remember tuberculosis was definitely a part of it. And the Public Health Service had a hospital on Manhattan Beach. And sometimes the patient would be sent over there if he was going through an acute period, and then brought back here. It was all sort of confusing for me. I must say I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the history, the feeling of the place. But, I mean, it was like a big tabernacle or something. Nothing going on or anything that you could hear. I remember that after the evening meal, there was some lady here who considered herself an opera singer. And she would, there was a piano, and sometimes they'd play, and sometimes she'd sing for a little while.
Did she sing in English?
What? Oh, no.
No.
Her husband was the one. He couldn't believe that here I was, 22 years old, from Louisiana, and was interested in learning Italian. And we used to play dominoes together. And it was always a struggle because he wanted to speak English and I wanted to speak Italian.
So when you would come over on a given day, you would come over and you would spend the night?
I'd spend the night.
And leave the next morning?
I haven't seen around enough to see. After about the third trip, I insisted on eating with, they had a dining room or something, and I insisted on eating down there. Otherwise, it would put me off in a little room, and I'd have to eat alone. And then lights were out around about 9:30 or 10 o'clock, and I had a private room up on the upper level here, and I'd go in and spend the night and then catch an early boat the next morning to go back to the hospital because I still had to tend to my duties over there.
So, in other words, you spent the night here just in case there something should happen during the night that you would be on call?
That might be it. I think it was more for the convenience of the Coast Guard. They didn't want me to hold
the
dispensary and then come back and pick me up. But I didn't mind it. I mean, like this time of year, or the last time I guess I was here was probably in June of 51. And there is no better view of New York. Mm-hmm. And it was all to myself. I mean, I could roam around the grounds and look over the city, and it was romantic in a way.
Well, tell me, like, with the tuberculosis cases, and there was no cure for tuberculosis, what did you do for them?
I don't know what the... Just listen to them cough, I guess. I mean, it was mostly supportive therapy. The United States wanted to look after these people. I never even really knew. I mean, my knowledge is not very great of it, whether they were screened before they came here. There was a man with syphilis, and we had just discovered penicillin to cure it.
Oh.
And there was someone with dysentery, not cholera. Perhaps it's what I turned out to be fatefully, 44 years old, and I'm not ashamed to say it's the world's leading expert on amoebic dysentery. But most of them are political, I think. I remember after seeing or talking to someone, whenever I could talk, because, you know, if you stayed here for 3 or 4 years and you couldn't get off, you had to learn some English, like being in prison, I guess. And some of them I got to know. But it was the beginning of the McCarthy era. I think some of them were political detainees at that time.
It sounds as though, was it pretty much the same group every time you came back here?
Oh, yes, it was pretty much this. There was nobody coming through here anymore. This, it just stopped. Ellis Island had just stopped. And this was, as I said, about a dozen people who were still hanging on here, looking at freedom across the way, but not being able to get to it because of illness or political problems of some sort. Or I remember one woman, and she was a mother, grandmother, and the family just couldn't guarantee support.
Oh.
So why they didn't send her back? But I don't know, maybe.
Maybe she had nothing to go back to. Possibly.
Yeah, that's probably. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she probably didn't. I mean,
yeah,
had nothing to go back to, but the family couldn't guarantee support.
Yeah.
And she was not able to work. She was too old. I mean, if I remember correctly, a little senile or something like that. So they just kept them here. I mean, I really don't understand the whole situation. But I say half were medical detainees and half were political detainees.
Were you the sole medical person connected with this place?
No, ma'am. They had a nurse here in the little dispensary during the day. And she would take care of aspirin, whatever they needed. Then she would say, well, you ought to see the doctor if they needed a shot or something like that when he comes over in the evening. So she would have a little schedule for me to see two or three patients or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them just would want to talk, come in and have some sort of contact.
Yeah. Well, I am not sure if you mentioned this. Did you come once a week?
No, no.
How often did you come?
It varied, but I would say it was about once every 3 to 4 weeks. We were a lot of interns, and we rotated the duty.
Oh, I see. So you might not come for several months.
No, I would be here at least once a month.
Oh, I see. But someone would someone come?
Someone
every
came
week?
Every night.
One oh, every the, night?
Every night.
I see.
We drew duty. I mean, you know, just like in the Army. We drew duty, and they had the best medical care, and I know that they would have, for example, I would go back to the hospital. Yeah, I remember now. I went back to the hospital, and there was this one woman who was in cardiac failure, and they sent out a cardiologist on a special trip to take care of them. They were given excellent care. Mm-hmm. Food was good, simple but good. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what nationality it was because we had about, I would say out of the 12 people, there were 8 different nationalities.
Uh-huh.
But it was plain old American food. And the thing that struck me, you know, that there was a little library, and as I said, the madam sang sometimes in the evening, and somebody played the piano all the time. But it must have been terribly lonely for them all day out here.
Do you by any chance remember a man named Peterson who was purported to be the last person to have been detained
here? No,
ma'am,
I don't remember. He was
from Norway, I think.
From Norway. No, I don't remember him.
The
Norwegians are pretty healthy people.
Yeah, that's true. You may never have crossed paths. Well, let's see. So, and the Coast Guard, your memory of them is simply being the ones that ran the ships, the ferries that brought you out
the
here.
The Coast Guard boat brought us from right next to where the Staten Island ferry was. There was a Coast Guard dock. They went to Governor's Island, too.
Uh-huh. I see.
And also came to Ellis Island. And they'd bring us over about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we would go back around about 7 o'clock, 7:30 the next morning. You know, when they, basically, I guess, even though in my imagination, a megalomania, whatever it was, I thought it was a private boat, but I don't think so. It was the few employees who were still here, like guards. They did have guards, armed guards, and of course they had to have some sort of administrative work here. So there were over other people. It was not my private boat, as I like to think.
Uh-huh. Do you remember anything else about the people who were working here at that time?
No. I didn't have much contact with the people who were working here. I mean, you know, it was back a long time ago in history of medicine where doctors were respected and not talked to. So I didn't make any friends. I just talked with 2 or 3 of the people here that I could communicate with, of the detainees. Because, you know, in June, the days were long. And I remember this man in particular, what was his name, Domico, Domenico something. And we would take a table. Was there a porch around here somewhere? I can't remember. And play dominoes and watch the sun go down over Jersey. That's the man, but he wanted to learn English and I wanted to learn Italian. And between the two, I don't know whether either one of us learned anything. But if you want to ask me my basic impression, it was depressing to walk into the main hall. maybe one person on duty, and then to be taken to wherever I was working, the dispensary, and this huge, huge, I don't know what I'm seeing now, but to me it was just big. I mean, high and big and empty.
How did your fellow interns or the other people in Staten Island who did the duty here too, what was the general feeling about
having... I've got to do it. I've drawn duty. So I've got to go over. I don't remember discussing any particular patient with another intern.
Mm-hmm.
But I do talk. And I would like to learn more about these people, but didn't. Mm-hmm. It just was lonely. Mm-hmm. Particularly in winter. And lights out at 9:30. At 10 o'clock or something like that, and cold, because there was no real central heating or anything. But the food was edible. Mm-hmm. So I was happy. No, it was a great experience in my life, and I'm glad that I was there at that time. And now I'm looking forward to trying to recall some more memories.
Yeah, good. Well, I was just going to ask you that in retrospect, when you look back at this period in your life of being here, is there anything about it that I don't know, has affected anything since then?
Yeah, I felt very sorry for these people.
Uh-huh.
And I felt very important.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I'm not getting that impression today because I've only been here a minute, but of just the space and benches and little cubby holes, I guess, where the people had in the past been taken to be questioned or whatever it is. And it was emptiness. I guess that's the best thing. So it's so wonderful to see now that it's been restored.
Uh-huh.
But it's very interesting that, I mean, I came over with my office manager today, who's 23, and she taught me something I didn't know, and that was that when the first Puerto Ricans came here, they stopped and were detained here for a while. So there are a lot of people with history of having gone through here. How many did they used to process a day?
Well, I'm not sure how many a day, but there's a 12 million figure of people who passed through here.
From what period of time did it occur?
1892, and then there was a fire, so a few years out, and then till 1954 when it was officially closed.
54.
But of course,
nobody was coming in through here in 50 that I remember.
Yeah. But there were still some detainees. In 54, they closed it up.
Mm-hmm.
But most of it happened from the 1890s until mid-1920s.
Mm-hmm.
That was the time when the largest numbers were coming through.
Okay.
So let me ask you, after this, was there anything in your experience that you connect with this experience at all?
Yes, no? I told you that there was... of course, you know, dysentery was one of the biggest problems in health at the turn of the century. And I said, I remember this one patient who was here, and he had dysentery. And never at that time did I think that I would become a dysentery specialist. I came here to be a writer. And now I'm writing a book on amoebic dysentery. So, I mean, it's just funny how things evolve after that period of time. 1950, and I finished the book last week.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's see. When you said you came here to be a writer, was
well,
it to
I came
be
to
a,
New York City to be a writer.
A medical writer or
a medical writer. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Medical editor, uh-huh. writer, to reporter or whatever it was.
I see.
Yeah. And my focus was not on medicine as medicine. I didn't want to become a great surgeon or anything. I couldn't have at any rate because my hands are useless. I mean, I can't even sew a button on. I remember, talk about that. I remember that sometimes you would see visitors coming over here with clothes for the people, you know, if they had relatives. They'd come visit them with clothes. Those that didn't have relatives, I don't know where their clothes came from. I mean, there are many questions in my mind. I'm trying right now to think about what sort of food we have. I think it was probably macaroni and spaghetti or something like that, but it was standard American food. But the people were well-treated, I promise you. Mm-hmm. It was just the loneliness of this place. And then sitting here, particularly in winter, when it was cold and nights were early, and they're sitting here, and all of Manhattan, because we're at the end of Broadway, right? All of Manhattan life going on over there, and they're out here. So close, but yet so far.
I think maybe that's a good place to end this segment. And then we're going to walk around with you with the video. So if you discover some places that you recognize or any further memories, we can
come back.
Record them.
Fine.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to thank you, Dr. Parrish.
Well, thank you for asking me. As I've said, to be a very small part of history, but I like it.
Significant, nonetheless. And this is August 24th, 1994. We're here in the Ellis Island Oral History Studio. And this is Janet Levine signing off.